This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both his servant and his messenger. Again, you know, as we've been beginning these Friday messages since the lockdown has begun in Canada, I just want to reiterate, inshallah, for everyone, as we will reiterate again in the end, to ensure that they pray four rak'ahs with the intention of dhuhr at home. And that, you know, we are doing this from the masjid to keep the masjid a little bit alive and to keep, inshallah, some semblance of normalcy in our lives and some yearning and connection remaining with us and with the masjid and with us wanting to, inshallah, be here in the masjid praying together someday soon. May Allah Azza wa Jal make it happen sooner rather than later. Today's discussion is going to be about patience during difficulties and tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life. And in creating life, He created it in two forms. He created the life of this world, this temporal world, this place of difficulty and hardship, and this place of calamities and tests. And He created the next life as well, the final life, the life where we are free of anxiety and worry and thirst and hunger and nakedness. And Allah decreed that this world would be that world which is home to worry and sadness and anxiety and stress and difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the state in which He created human beings. And He said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ, that indeed we created man in a state of hardship. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to explain this to us when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ, that this world, this dunya, this temporal world, it is the prison of the believer and it is the paradise of the disbeliever. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Qur'an, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, that such are the days we give to people in turns. Meaning all the days of this world revolve in turns. There are days in which we are, you know, the days that revolve between peace and happiness, the days that revolve between ease and hardship, the days that revolve between victory and defeat, the days that revolve between comfort and tension. And all these tests have been written and decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. That Allah Azza wa Jalla says that no disaster strikes upon the earth, nor in yourselves, except that there is a register, except that it is in a register before it has been brought into being, i.e. Allah has recorded it and registered it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Qur'an, لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says, you will definitely be tested in your possessions and tested in yourselves. And you will surely be tested in your wealth and in your opportunities. Allah Azza wa Jalla saying we're going to be tested in all of these things, in our wealth, in our opportunities, and all the things that we gather, that we own. We're going to be tested in our health. We're going to be tested with illnesses and with hardship. And He says, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ, and you will surely hear from those other people who do not believe much abuse. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. But if you are patient, and if you fear Allah, then these are the matters that are worthy of determination. If you are patient and you have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the things that Allah upholds as worthy of our determination, worthy of our effort, worthy of our striving. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you have sabr, patience and perseverance, and if you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, promises us a life of difficulty, of hardship, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, if we persevere, if we are patient through these hardships, we will be granted success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. He says that indeed those who are patient will receive their reward in full, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any questioning, without any reckoning. None other than the patient are rewarded endlessly. None other than those who are patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are given reward without accounting whatsoever, without questioning. And the scholars comment, why is this the case? That the one who is patient is rewarded without any measure, without any limit. And they said, just as the person who patiently perseveres in this world does not question Allah with a question of rejection in this world, when Allah decrees something for us, we don't reject Him with questioning. How dare you do this to me? How dare you decree this upon me? That is a questioning of rejection. Just like the person prevents themselves from doing that, holds themselves back from questioning Allah in such a manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life will reward them also without questioning them. He will give them the reward without reckoning, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without accounting, without any limitations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient, persevere, just as the messengers of strong will did before you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes Prophet Ismail alayhi salam and his statement to his father, who comes to him with a dream of seeing slaughtering him. And he says, يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He said, oh my father, do whatever you have been commanded, and you will find me to be of those who are patient. And when Allah described Yusuf alayhi salam and the beautiful story of Prophet Yusuf, He mentions the beautiful statement in summary near the end of the surah, where He says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That indeed whoever has taqwa of consciousness of Allah and is patient, then Allah does not cause the reward of those who do good to be lost. And when He mentioned Prophet Ya'qub and his patience and endurance, when his child and children were taken away from him, and he said, فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. He said, patience is the most beautiful. Patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beautiful. Perseverance for the sake of Allah is the most beautiful. There is nothing that can grant you more, that can raise your ranks more, that can increase your standing in the sight of Allah more than when you are patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no better example than the example of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was tested throughout his life, and Allah raises him and raises his rank through these series of tests and hardships that he faces. He's tested with orphanhood, and his father dies before his birth, and his mother dies when he's only 6 years old. And so he's left from his grandfather until his grandfather dies, then left to his uncle. His childhood is that of an orphan passing from hand to hand, raised illiterate despite his high status, the high status of his tribe and family, and yet he found no one who could teach him to read and write because of his circumstances. Every time he was attached to someone who would raise him, that person would die and abandon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he is older and he's blessed with the seal of prophethood. And the tests do not stop, but rather he's tested from Quraysh, who starves him, strikes him, attempts to kill and assassinate him, drives him out of his city and his land and his home, and wages war upon him, all because he dared to preach that La ilaha illallah, there's none with the right to be worshipped save Allah. And they would throw upon him, while he was in prostration to Allah, the intestines and the entrails of dead animals, while he was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in front of his young daughter Fatima. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would starve for days upon days, weeks upon weeks. Aisha radiallahu anha said, full moon after full moon would pass, and we wouldn't even light a fire in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no food, there was nothing to cook with a fire that for them to even light the fire in his house. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tie a rock against his stomach due to the intensity of the hunger that he would face. The leader of a people, of a nation, who could have taken from the people whatever he wanted by force, and yet he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remains patient with the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him in this world. And in the hadith of Nu'man,
رضي الله تعالى عنه. إذا قال ما شبع نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى من الدقل حتى أن مات. He said, your Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he never ate to his full. Not even from الدقل. And الدقل is the dried dates. The dates that is hardened and dried up that people wouldn't even eat. Most of us wouldn't eat it if it was given to us. He said, even from that, the Prophet ﷺ never ate to his full until the day that he died. And this is the example of our Prophet ﷺ. When he's tested in a Ta'if and the people chase him out, striking him with rocks and blood drenching from the Prophet ﷺ until his sandals become soaked and his ankles are covered in blood. And all of these tests would increase and reach even his home, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have 7 children, 3 boys and 5 girls, all of them would die. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have to bury them with his hands, except for his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And it was narrated in Sahih Muslim, that when he became aware of the illness upon his son Ibrahim, and he loved him tremendously, this son that he would walk around in the other narrations that the Prophet would say to the people, Hal ra'aytum Ibrahim? Have you seen my son Ibrahim? And this young child was heaving, unable to breathe, unable to properly intake oxygen in his state. And the Prophet ﷺ is holding him and crying. If you saw an old man towards the end of his life not being able to breathe, you would feel tremendous sympathy for them. What about a young 2-year-old boy not able to breathe? And the Prophet ﷺ is weeping and crying, and his tears are covering him and his son. And some of the Sahaba, seeing the Prophet ﷺ crying like this, they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? What is all these tears? And the Prophet ﷺ said, Innaha rahma. He said, this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is your Prophet ﷺ. And he overcomes these tests with faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla, with patience and persevering, with knowing that victory is attached to patience, by knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never lose account of all their good and all their faith. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed Allah would not lose account of your faith. He will not cause your faith to be lost in vain. And we see this in the example of so many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu anhu, as he's being tortured, it is his faith in Allah Azza wa Jal and his perseverance and his patience and knowing that this promise is true that allows him to say nothing but ahadun ahad, that God is one, even as they whip him and lash him and torture him. And Khabbab radiallahu anhu believed this and understood this when the hot stones were thrown upon his back and his skin was being burnt, but he knew that victory was married to patience. And Ammar radiallahu anhu believed this and knew this. When his family was hung up on the trees, his father on one side, his mother on the other, and his brother as well. And he sees them being killed, all because they said, La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks through the streets of Mecca and he hears the wailing and the crying of these oppressed Muslims who are being tortured. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, Sabran ala Yasir, innama wa'idukum al-jannah. He said, be patient, O family of Yasir. Sabran, be patient. For indeed, your appointed place, your appointed time is in paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ would teach us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah loves a people, He tests them, He tries them. He gives them hardship and difficulty because through it they raise themselves. And in these days of incredible hardship and difficulty, this is exactly the message we need to understand. If Allah loves us, He will try us, so that we increase and raise our standard of character. Not that we lower them and we lower ourselves to the circumstance, but we raise ourselves above the circumstance. That our mannerisms become better. Our patience, our forbearance becomes better. Our mannerisms in dealing with people becomes better, not becomes worse. And the Prophet ﷺ taught this to his companions. When Khabbab came to the Prophet ﷺ, a man who had been tortured, his back burnt with fire and steel, and he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Ama tad'u Allah lana? Ala tastansir lana?" He said, "Isn't it? Why are you not calling upon Allah? Why are you not asking for victory? I.e., why is the victory not come to us now? How long are we going to withstand and endure this difficulty and hardship?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the rare instances in his life, became angry, and his face turned red, And he turned towards Khabbab and he said, there were people before you who have also went through difficulty and hardship. There were people before you who have also been tortured. And he recounted the type of torture, gruesome torture that happened to believers throughout the ages, even before the advent of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, وَلَا يَرُدُّهُم مِّن دِينِهِمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ. That type of torture that they faced did not cause them to turn away from their religion. And he said, and indeed this religion will be successful. And Allah will give us the promise. He said, it will be so safe and secure that a woman will be able to travel from city to city, not fearing any person, only fearing perhaps the animals upon the path. But he says to Khabbab, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you are being hasty. The hardship, the difficulty that Allah has decreed for us is something we have to go through, something we need to go through. Because when we go through it, we emerge from it becoming better. What makes Khabbab and all of the Sahaba so immensely valuable in our eyes? It's because they went through the school of hardship and difficulty. And we too need to go through this school of difficulty and hardship to emerge better than we were previous to it. The Prophet says, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are being too hasty. You need to go through this hardship and overcome it and enhance your ability to be patient and to endure and to persevere. And when you emerge the other side, you become an even better person, a greater person. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لِيُؤَخِّرِ الْإِجَابَ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ. That sometimes Allah withholds the response from his slave. The slave is asking, oh Allah help me, oh Allah help me. And Allah delays the response that they're asking for. Why does this happen? The Prophet ﷺ said, لِمَا يَسْمَعُ مِنْ حُسْنِ تَوَاضِعِ. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may hear the best of his humility. I.e. the difficulty that you're going through, and Allah may delay the relief. For what reason? Because you start to find and discover within yourself higher and greater levels of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of desperation in the sight of Allah azza wa jal. You begin to make yourself better in relation to your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowing this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us the reality of this world, for us to look at the greater picture. This world is not all that it's cracked up to be, so all of our hopes should not be pinned only on this world. The Prophet said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." This world is the prison of the believer. It's never going to be the place of pure comfort. No matter how easy life becomes, it will always be difficult, because that's the nature of this life. And the Prophet ﷺ wants us to be focused on what is more important, and that's the next life. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to us, very powerful hadith, he said that it will be brought on the Day of Judgment, يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَنْعُمِ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. The person who lived the most luxurious life of the disbelievers will be brought on the Day of Judgment. And this is the person, if you can imagine, has lived the most privileged life. They have all the wealth they could ever want. They've had the private jets, they've had the condos around the world, they've had all the things that you can imagine that is luxury. This person has lived it. And Allah brings this person on the Day of Judgment, and He orders, اغْمِسُوهُ فِي النَّارِ. Just dip him into the hellfire. Allow him to touch the hellfire and bring him out. And so they dip him a single dip into the hellfire, and he's brought out. A single moment, fraction of a second that he spends in the hellfire, and he's brought back to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا قَدْ. Have you ever experienced any luxury, any ease ever before? And the man says, no, by Allah, I never experienced luxury before. What is this world compared to the next? It's nothing. So why do we pin so much of our hopes upon it, rather than looking to what is more important? And the Prophet ﷺ continues, and he says, Allah will order the person who lived the most difficult life, and that person will be brought, imagine a person who lived nothing but hardships, orphanhood, poverty, difficulty, disease. And this person is brought in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اغْمِسُوهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Let him just touch paradise. Let him spend a fraction of a second in paradise. And this person is brought back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَدْ. Have you ever seen any hardship before? And the man says, no, by Allah, I have never seen hardship before in my life. That is powerful. All the hardship of this world compared to the next world is not even a fraction of a second in paradise. And this is to make us understand and realize and internalize the fact that this world is not what we should be focused on. And so when we find difficulties and hardships and obstacles in this world, knowing the bigger picture, it should allow us to raise ourselves above these obstacles and hardships. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We are living obviously in times of tremendous hardship and difficulty, and through these difficulties and hardships and disease, we can understand clearly the words of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, أَقْبَلْتُ الْفِتَنْ كَقُطْعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. He said that the trials are coming forward, and they will be like pieces of the darkness of the night. تُطْبِعُ آخَرَهَا أَوَّلَهَا. The next of them will rapidly succeed one after the other, each of them worse than the one that came before. And another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنِّي لَأَرَى الْفِتَنْ. He said, indeed, I see the trials. I see the trials that are coming. He said, تَقَعَ خِلَالْ بُيُوتَكُمْ مَوَاقِعَ الْقَطَرِ. He said that it will fall upon your houses just like the rain falls. When the rain falls, it affects all the homes. He said, when the fitna comes, the trial comes, the difficulty comes, it will affect all of your homes. And these are things that we are seeing right now. And so how do we face fitna? How do we face tests and trials in our lives? First of all, it's important for us to realize and understand the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لِلْعَامَلِ مِنْهُمْ أَجْرُ خَمْسِينَ مِنْكُمْ. That the Prophet, speaking to his companions, he said, there will come a time where one man's deeds will be worth 50 of you. SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is saying this to whom? To Abu Bakr, to Umar, to Ali, to all of these different Sahaba. He's saying to them, there will be a time in the future where one of their deeds will be equal to 50 of yours. Meaning one prayer from that person that the Prophet is referring to will be worth 50 prayers of people like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and all these other of the Sahaba. How is that possible? The Sahaba said, well, how is this the case? And the Prophet ﷺ said, لِأَنَّكُمْ تَجِدُونَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ أَعْوَانًا وَلَا يَجِدُونَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ أَعْوَانًا. But the Prophet ﷺ said, it is because you have support when you are doing good, and they will not have support when they are doing good. And this shows us that the more difficult the circumstance is, the more the reward increases. The Sahaba, having the support of the Prophet ﷺ and each other, they did a lot of good. They did more good than any of us can imagine to do. But because they had support, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that people who work without support will be given a greater reward for the deeds that they do. Obviously, this does not mean the Sahaba are better than, the people after will be better than the Sahaba. The Sahaba are the best. But it means the one deed that you're able to do, even if they're able to do far more than you, you will be rewarded more for that one deed. And this is an encouragement for us to realize, yeah, we're not going to be as good as the Sahaba. We're not going to be able to do as much good as them. That's for granted. But the good that we do is going to be rewarded extra. And that's going to increase our ranks. Because we're living in tough times and difficult times where we don't have the support that others have had before us. Secondly, do good deeds as early and as quickly as you can. Take the opportunity now to do good deeds. The Prophet says, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحِ فِتْنَ قَبْلَ يَتِيَكُمْ فِتْنَ كَقَدْعَ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. He said, do the good deeds now, before the fitna comes. And the fitna that will be like pieces of the darkness of the night. And so he tells you in the beginning, what's the solution? Do good deeds now. The good deed you do today is a seed that you are planting that's going to help you when things become even more difficult. And so constantly do as many good deeds as possible, because when you do this, this is what is going to help you down the line. And you have faith right now. You have belief in Allah right now. You don't know if you're going to have belief in Allah in the future. So take advantage of what Allah has given you now, and use it for the sake of Allah, and Allah will make your faith stronger and connect you to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, to constantly make dua.
And Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what was the dua the Prophet made the most? And she said, the Prophet used to say, كان أكثر دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يقول اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. She said the dua the Prophet used to make the most was يا مقلب القلوب, O you who alternates the hearts, who changes hearts, ثبت قلبي على دينك, make my heart firm upon your religion. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us firm upon His religion. And finally, I will say that it is important for us to remain patient and to realize that everything happens by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. He said, how amazing are the affairs of the believer, everything that happens to him is good. If difficulty happens to him, he is patient and that is good for him. And if good things happen to him, he is thankful and that is good for him. So everything that happens to him is good. And if we recognize that everything is written by Allah, and we approach everything with patience or gratitude, then indeed everything in our lives will in fact be for our benefit, and whatever Allah has written for us will in fact be a reason to take us to Jannah, inshallah.